All right. Amen.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the pastor for letting me have this opportunity. I know that it'd be hard to let people step up here, so thank you. All right, my name is Robert Womack. Morning. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am the redeemed of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I am here to glorify God and to bring praise and honor to Jesus Christ. In the Bible, there's a man by the name of Samson. And Samson kept getting himself in trouble. And every time he'd get in trouble, he says, I'm going to get up and shake myself to bring the strength.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with my message. So if you see me shaking, that's what I'm doing. I'm getting rid of that. So I'm shaking myself for you guys. The message that I'm bringing today came from the Bible, okay? Came from the Word of God.
Amen.
And I also used several of God's old generals, which E.W. Kenyon, Lester Sumrall, Charles Capps, Kenneth Hagin, Curry Blake, Rick Reiner. These are great men of God who have written books to leave us information that will help us in our lives.
Yeah.
So I'd like to pray real quick before I get started. So if you will, join me. Gracious Father, I do thank you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here amongst us right now. I pray that the Holy Spirit, that you would touch every heart in here and prick their hearts to help them to hear and know that your word is true. I ask you, Father, to use my body, my words, my mouth to speak your words of truth. And Father, I thank you that we have just celebrated a great season that you sent your only begotten Son for us. And we thank you for that. And the blessing, the hope, peace, and joy that you've given all of us. We praise your mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, a couple weeks ago, we had a Christmas luncheon or dinner here. And we had a guest speaker by the name of Pastor Don Allen. And when he was up here, he said that God audibly spoke to him and said, trust me. You remember that?
Yes.
Well, I want to add a little bit to what he said. God does not change. God does not lie. God does not fail. And there is no possibility of failure on his part.
Amen.
So we're going to trust God.
Yes.
So I'm going to jump right in. I've got some verses here. If we'll go to Numbers 23:19. About trusting God. God is not a man, so he does not lie. I just said that. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Wow. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? No, God is faithful.
Amen.
Let's go to the next one, Jeremiah 1:12. Then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Right? His word right here, the Bible. He is watching over every word that's in here to make sure. So Isaiah 55:11. This is the ESV version. Did you get that one in there? Okay. It says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So God's word, God himself is telling you, hey, if you read my word and you know it, I'm going to back that up.
Yes. Yes.
Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. There's kind of a trend here. God is backing his word. We can trust God. All right. I know that the pastor put in my notes, and I don't know if he read my sermon here or not, but pastor, I'd like to get your help for a second.
Okay, sure.
If you bring a microphone on up. I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. Come on up here.
Okay.
I don't want to be by myself.
Shake it off.
All right, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Are you saved?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Y'all heard that?
Yes.
All right. What I'd like for you to do is raise your arms like this right here. And then turn around very slowly. 360 degrees. Everybody look at him. You can stop. You can put your arms up. Is there any distinguishing marks on this man or anything that would say that he's saved?
No.
All right. If I didn't know him and I was walking into a Walmart store and he's walking down an aisle, I said, wow, look at this man. That is a saved man of God. I doubt it. There's no distinguishing marks. No. So, Pastor, how did you get saved?
Well, I called on the name of Jesus. According to the scripture, Romans chapter 10, it says, whoever confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. I got saved by believing what the Bible says.
Amen. All right, stay right here.
And acting on that.
That's a good answer, right?
Amen.
You know, I wasn't there when he did that. Were you? Can he prove it to you? No. But let's go to Romans 10:13. As the scriptures say, anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Right? So the next one, 10:9-10. Okay. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe.
Yes.
You got to believe inside. And justified. And it is with your mouth that you have professed. And you are saved. So, in your heart you believed the word of God. And you professed the word of God. And that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You're trusting God and his word that it is fulfilled. Trust
yes.
him, right?
Yes.
All right, you're confessing and you believe in the word and nothing can change your mind?
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. All right, we're good. God provided salvation, but you have to believe
right. And
confess to receive it.
Yes.
Okay, God gave salvation. He's not going to force it upon anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe and confess it.
Amen.
Oh, man. My words are tight here. All right. Skeptics. There's a lot of skeptics in the world right now. A lot of skeptics, and they may need proof of your faith. So, people may say, it can't be that easy. Essentially, they're saying that God lied, right?
Right.
Okay. This is why God provided power for believers.
Right.
He provided power for you to show signs and wonders. Mark 16:17 says, these signs will follow those who believe.
Right.
These signs will follow those who believe. Now, all of you that are Christians and believers in Christ, you are believers.
Yes.
These signs will follow
Amen.
Those who believe.
Amen.
All right, Pastor, I got another question for you. If friends knew that you had been sick, now he's not sick, this is just a question, and asked you how you were doing, would the words you use in casual conversation make a difference in your heart's belief? If you just said whatever came to mind right then, would your heart?
Is this a trick question? I'm not sure.
There's no trick questions.
Okay.
And if I just walked down the street and I asked you how you're doing, you said, "Oh man, this my back's killing me, and I just doesn't ever seem to get better." You know, I'm getting older. Would you not start believing those?
Well, you're exactly right. I would. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So your profession and your confession, would make a difference.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Every word coming out of your mouth should mirror what God says about you, right?
Yes.
All right. About your situation, not what your senses are telling you. This is the big thing. Mm-hmm. We go around and we feel our aches and pains. We see the troubles in the world, and we start speaking those out.
Right.
We start saying those, and as we speak and say those things, this is what we truly believe.
It registers on our heart. Yeah.
So we need to say the word Amen. Of God, right?
Amen.
When we speak, we declare God's truth, or we speak the enemy's lies. There's one or the other. There's no in between. Your words are either speaking God's truth or the enemy's lies. Okay, Pastor, we're good. Thank you.
All right, great.
Give him a big hand. He did good. He saved. Yes. All right. Every word that we speak is important. Let's go to Matthew 8:17. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." Okay. He took them and removed them. They're gone. Now, I know we all feel things and it just hurts and pains or whatever, but he took them and removed them. 1 Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty of power of the power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, and it's in parentheses here, who believe, have been healed. Trust God's word and believe, you have been healed. I don't care what your experience is. Okay? You do not deny the fact that sickness exists. You don't. We're not here to say, oh no, I'm not sick, I don't do this. And you don't deny the fact that Satan has ultimately caused this. Sickness was not in the world until Satan came around, right?
Right.
After you've first given the problem to God, your confession should be the same as with salvation.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't matter what other people see. The only thing that truly matters is the Word of God. God gave and provided for healing, but you have to believe it, confess it, and act on it. I know my dad used to say, "When Dad, I don't feel good." He said, "Well, when you get to school, you'll feel better." I believed it, I acted on it, and I felt better. God will not force healing on anyone, though. He will not force it. Have ultimate faith and trust in God, who does not change. God does not lie. God does not fail. And there is no possibility of failure on his part. People may say it can't be that easy. You don't know what's going on in my body. You weren't there. I don't understand. Well, did God lie?
No.
Uh-oh. That's when we start to think about it. The words coming out of my mouth. Am I calling God a liar? So, God's word is truth. You got to battle your mouth and your mind. And you've got to make your heart believe. Matthew 4:4. But Jesus replied, "It is written and forever remains written." Okay, that means it ain't going to change. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Right here, your Bible. Every word is here, comes out of the Word of God. This is what we are to live on.
Yes. Amen.
Not what we experience by our senses. People will say, "You're in denial." Or if I profess this truth all the time, "You're a fanatic." Well, who cares? The world may hate and persecute you, but it doesn't matter what they say. God's word is truth.
That's right.
Amen. When we speak, we declare God's truth or the enemy's lies. Every word we take. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:7. Everybody's heard of this one, I think. For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Living in a manner in our confident belief in God's promises. Right? Live not by our senses, but trusting what God said. All right. I don't want you to come up, but I got another question for you. If you or anyone you know are facing any type of scenario where they need forgiveness of sins, fear, anxiety, lack, danger, needing wisdom or guidance for anything in their lives, would it not be the same tenacity and firmness of belief in God's word and their profession in that truth that brings God's power into their life?
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't matter what's going on in your life, if it's salvation, if it's healing, or any scenario, wanting to start a new family, whatever it is, it's the same as salvation.
Yes.
You believe,
right.
You confess,
yes.
And you act. We need to find the scriptures that pertain to whatever scenario we face and read them over and over and over again until we believe them. Now get that? Until we believe them. All right? There is something about it, though. A lot of us don't read the Bible every day. And so where are the promises and where are the words that are for us? Well, God knew that we wouldn't read the Bible much. And He also knows that I can't remember phone numbers now. I can't remember street names because it's all on a phone. So God created something for all of us. It's something new. It's just like a Google. He created this thing called Google that is for us. If you have a problem with fear, you type in that search bar, Bible promises concerning fear. You know, you don't have to read the entire Bible to get the promises of God in your life. In fact, you can print off a whole page of promises on fear. Promises on healing. Promises on finances. Google is an amazing thing. It's also awful, but it's still an amazing thing. It's there to help us if we use it. Yes. God will not force His promises upon you.
Right.
It's up to you to decide to accept it, to believe it, to profess it, and to act upon it. Every promise is in the Bible, God has His power there backing it up. Because we heard earlier that every word that comes out of His mouth will not come back void. It's going to be done.
Amen.
In fact, let's see. I'm going to skip down. God does not change. God does not lie. God does not fail. And there is no possibility of failure on His part. Even in this part of our promises, there will be skeptics out there that say, it can't be that easy. It just can't be that easy. Well, did God lie? No. No, God didn't lie. There's a healing minister by the name of Curry Blake, and he said this statement, doubt and unbelief is usually agreeing with what the Word says, just not now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
This is one of the biggest forms of unbelief, where you are mentally agreeing but not believing. I can memorize the whole Bible. No, I can't. But if I could, and I didn't believe it, what's the point? He says, believing means that it is true for me right now.
Yes. Amen.
You cannot say God is going to heal me For you are not agreeing with what God's Word says. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says God is going to heal you. It only says you are healed. So your profession is, I am healed. Not, I am going to be healed. I'm waiting on God. No. Most of the time we are agreeing with our five senses. When we start saying and professing and acknowledging what the Bible says, it will change you. It will change you. Instead of what your senses are telling you. And you will be healed. Mark 11:24. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Received. If you believe that you've received. It's like, I already have it. I don't care what you see, what you feel, I already have it. It is there. I've got a book here from E.W. Kenyon, The Wonderful Name of Jesus. And I'm going to read a passage from it to you. Because when I was putting this message together, I'm like, this is a good book. And when I picked it up, it opened to this page. I'm like, no way. This section said, His word is true. Isn't that funny? For the very moment I confess my sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive me. And when He forgives me, I am forgiven. On the same ground, the moment I confess that Satan has put a disease or infirmity upon me, remember Satan? Just that moment, He is faithful and righteous to heal me. I am healed. He healed me of my sin. He now heals me of my sickness. They both come from the same source, God's power. It requires no struggle, no long drawn out seeds or struggling after faith and trying to believe. There is the written word, and the eternal throne of God is back of it. The word cannot fail any more than God can fail. And when I confess my sins, I am forgiven. If I refuse this, I challenge it, I declare that by that challenge or that refusal, that God is a liar. That His word is not true. That all He has said in the Scripture is a lie. For all unbelief is a challenge of the integrity of God. You understand in Romans 10:9-10, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth and unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I just said that. You see the place that confession holds in salvation. It holds the same place in our faith walk. It holds the same place. Christianity is a confession. It is our open confession of what we are in Christ, of what Christ is to us. Our faith is gauged by our confession. We never believe beyond our confession. It is not a confession of sin. It is the confession of our place in Christ, of our legal rights, of what the Father has done for us in Christ, and what the Spirit has done in us through the Word, and what He is able to do through us. There is grave danger of our having two confessions. One would be the integrity of the Word, and the other would be our doubts and fears. Every time we confess weakness and failure and doubt and fear, we go to that level. That's a shame. We may pray very ardently and very earnestly and declare in our prayers our faith in the Word, and yet the next moment we question whether He heard us or not. For we confess we have not the things for which we prayed. Our last confession destroys our prayer. One asked me to pray for his healing. I prayed for him, and then he said, I want you to keep on praying for me. I hear this all the time. I want you to keep on praying for me. I asked him, what do you wish me to pray for? He said, oh, for my healing. I said, prayer will be of no value. You have just denied the Word of God. The Word says, they that believe shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. I prayed the prayer of faith. And he denied it. By his confession, he annulled my prayer and destroyed the effect of my faith. Your confession must absolutely agree with the word. And if you have prayed in Jesus' name, you are to hold fast your confession. It is easy to destroy the effect of your prayer by negative confession. Negative confession is speaking the evil one's words, the liar. I'm saying that. That was good.
That was good. Amen.
E.W. Kenyon passed away in 1948, I think it says. Our beliefs are the sum total of what we say, of what we confess. And if you want to know what you say and what you confess, it's what you say to your friend as you come through. That's what you truly believe. If I'm speaking the word and I'm sitting here and saying, oh, this is it, but then I tell you, I'm just not going to make it. I'm speaking the enemy's lies. Hebrews 10:23. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it, for he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. Who promised? God. He is faithful.
Yeah.
But confess and acknowledgement. I confess that the word of God is true. I confess that promise in my life. Those promises you get off that Google sheet that pertain to any situation in your life are yours. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold firmly without wavering to the hope that we have confessed. Because we can trust God to do what he promised. The one who promised is faithful. We can trust him. There is an evil in this world. We all know that. And he's called Satan. The adversary of God. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the enemy of God and mankind. He is the tempter. He is the ruler of this world. The prince of the power of the air. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He is the ruler of demons. He's a thief, a murderer, a disruptor, a destroyer. He is a manipulator. He is the father of lies, the deceiver of the whole world. That's who our enemy is. But best of all, he's a defeated being.
Yes.
Yes. God made a spectacle of Satan before kings. Jesus Christ defeated him. There is not one demon, principality, or evil spirit that can stand against even the newest true Christian.
That's right.
The power is inside of you now. None of those things can affect you. Today, his only power against you is what? Say what? Says what? As a Christian, is to get you to speak words
right.
Opposite from God's word.
Right.
Mark 11:23 says, if we believe in our heart and don't doubt, we will have what we say.
Amen.
Did you know that Satan believes the Bible? He knows that these words are true. He knows that God's word is true, and he tries to get every Christian to say what he wants to happen to them, which is to steal, kill, and destroy their lives. If we agree with Satan and speak his words, he can bring the evil things that he's putting forth into our lives. We've opened the door. We allow him to do it. Our mind and our mouth is where the battle is. Satan has set in motion in our world systems that bombard us with words that are opposite of God's word. Or, if the words that are there and we hear God's word, he bombards us with, really, that's not true. That's for a different time period. That's not for now. God's words would have a lack of power if we listen to him. We end up speaking religiously, but denying the power of God's word. We will agree with statements from the world, In other words, Satan. Statements like this. Oh, the economy is getting bad. We better tighten our belts. You know, we're just not going to make it. Well, what'd God say? Luke 6:38.
Amen.
Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I don't care what the economy is like.
Amen.
If you follow God's word, look what he said.
Right.
I'm going to give it back to you.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. Yes. His word is true.
Yes.
Now, Robert, is any of this in the Bible?
That's next week, right?
Next week.
Is any of this in the Bible? Well, here's an example from the Bible of people saying what Satan wanted them to say. Now, there's many examples, but I chose this one. The story is in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. God told Moses to lead his people to the promised land that he gave them. Moses gets there, and God says, okay, send 12 spies out to search the land. But he gets one man from each tribe, sends them out. They come back and say, oh, it truly is a land of milk and honey. This is a great land. But there's strong, walled cities, and the people are giants, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Two of the spies said, no, we're well able. Let's take it. They trusted God in what he said. But the others came back with this report, saying, no. Then they spread it to the congregation, or the people of Israel, and said, oh, we're going to die if we go here. This is just awful. Even though it's a land of milk and honey, God's promises are always lands of milk and honey. Right? Even though it's a land of milk and honey, we can't do it. Well, let's go to Numbers 14, 1 through 4. After they told the congregation this story. So all the congregation lift up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Excuse me. So they said one to another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Now, all they did was look at something and saw the troubles and problems, and they said, no, we're not doing that.
Right.
Even though God said, yes. All right? So the Lord answers.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers 14:11. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me disrespectfully and reject me? Now, what did they do? They professed what Satan wanted them to say. Right. We can't take this. We right. cannot do that. God said, I gave it to you.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't say, God, you're not any good. They just said, we can't do this.
Right.
And God says, that was disrespectful towards me, and they rejected me. And then he says, how long will they not believe in me? Trust God. Despite all the miraculous signs which I have performed among them. You know, by saying the opposite of God's promises, we are disrespecting and rejecting God. We profess unbelief. When we speak, we declare God's promises, or we speak the enemy's lies. Numbers 14:26 through 28, the Lord is not through talking about the Israelites. And this one is terrifying. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I put up with this evil congregation? Now, what made them evil? They were speaking opposite of what God's word was saying. And in fact, they were calling God a liar.
Right.
So God says they're an evil congregation who murmur in discontent against me. I have heard the complaints of the Israelites, which they are making against me. When they were looking at the scenario and said, we can't take this land, God said their complaint was against me. We've got to focus on our words and what we say. So say to them, and this is the terrifying part, as I live, says the Lord, just what you have spoken in my hearing, I will most certainly do to you. If I stand up here and say, oh, I'm waiting on God to heal me, as surely as I live, says the Lord, just what you have spoken in my hearing, I will most certainly do. If I said, oh, I can't make it, the economy's bad, as surely as I live, says the Lord, just what you have spoken in my hearing, that is what I will do. God is plainly telling us, your words matter.
Yes.
And over and over and over again, he tells us in this Bible that the words we speak matter because it's what we believe in our heart.
Yes.
We should not live by what our senses tell us. We should live by what the Word of God says. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible, God's Word, is truth. We must believe in His Word. God does not change. God does not lie. God does not fail. And there is no possibility of failure on His part. The Bible reveals to us who God is, right? And God, this is His Word, so God tells us the names He wants us to call Him. And I'm going to go over a few of these names. I'm going to try to do these a little quicker.
We're good?
Okay, we're good. This is from a book, The Names of God, by Lester Sumrall. His name is Jehovah, or Yahweh. And I barely speak English, so if I mispronounce these, Bonnie, if I mispronounce these, forgive me. But this is, I am. I am that I am. The source of all reality. God describes to Himself as I am. I'm the source of all reality. The God who always is. The real God. The unchangeable God. God does not change. God does not lie. God does not fail. And there's no possibility of failure on His part. Jehovah Elohim. Okay. The Lord is God. He is one to be worshipped. Now God said that's who He is.
Yes.
El Shaddai. The Almighty God. That's who God said He is He's the Almighty God. There's no reason for us to feel discouraged or defeated, for God will deal with every situation victoriously. With God for us, who can stand against us? We just can't. Jehovah, excuse me, Shema, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Thank you.
God wants us to know that we are always in His presence. We are always in His presence. We may see obstacles and problems ahead, but God says, I'm bigger than any of your problems. And I'll fulfill my promises to you despite all the problems if you'll turn them over to me. We have a role to play in every promise. The fact that God is with us makes us a majority over any situation we face. If we agree with what God's Word says, there is not a scenario that can stand against us.
Amen.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Remember all the good things God has done. Remember the victories in your life and speak them out. Bring them back to your remembrance.
Amen.
Praise God for all He has done and know that this praise will bring the reality of God's power and peace into your life. Praise God for the power of all God Almighty is in your life. He's there with you always. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. There is a famed missionary, his name is Hudson Taylor, who once said, God's work done in God's way cannot fail to have God's provision.
Amen.
Cannot fail to have God's provision. Let's go to Matthew 6:8. Don't recite the same prayer over and over as the heathen do, who think prayers are answered only by repeating them again and again. Remember, your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. So my Father knows what I need before I ask Him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, in God, right? And have an abundance for every good work and act of charity. God is the one who provides you the materials that you can help the charity and people.
Yeah.
Every good act. 1 John 5:15. And if we know, for a fact as in we do, indeed we do, that He hears and listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know, you know, with settled and absolute knowledge, that we have granted to us the request which we've asked of Him. I do read a good bit, and so I read this book on George Mueller. He is a pastor that lived in the 1800s. He lived in Bristol. He was a bit of a wild one when he was young, but when he got a hold of the Word of God, he said, "If this Word is true, I will never ask man for assistance again. God will provide." So George Mueller lived his life serving God. He glorified God in his life. In his lifetime, with only God's provision, he housed, provided for, and educated, and even raised over 10,000 orphans in his lifetime. Through God's provision, he did many other things as well. He translated Bibles, he gave out free Bibles and tracts, all kinds of stuff. He nor the children lacked anything in that time frame of his life. He proved the Word of God by his life. In fact, he left a diary. In his diary, he reveals that he never asked anyone except God for assistance. He never asked anyone. So how can you take on 10,000 people and provide for them? It's a miraculous thing. We can always point to other people and say, you know what, those people are in need and they're in poverty. You know, it's just a bad scenario. What about them? What about them? I could easily be one of them. I could make a bad mistake and I could lose everything. I could be in poverty. Well, God would like to know, where in the Bible is the name for God that means I am the God who makes you poor and poverty stricken? God gave us His names, describing Himself.
Yes.
There is not a name in the Bible that says, I'm the God who makes you poor and poverty stricken.
Right.
It's not there.
Amen.
God is not the one who causes lack.
Amen.
Satan does that.
Right.
Our choices and our beliefs cause us problems.
Right.
God is our provider.
Amen.
We have to trust in God.
Amen.
James 1:17. Every good thing and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow cast by His turning. God does not change. God does not lie. God does not fail. And there is no possibility of failure on His part. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. God made our bodies, and He's able to heal us. Psalms 107:20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What is His word? He sent His word. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Word.
Yes.
So He sent His Son,
yes,
Jesus Christ, and healed them.
Yes.
Now, I need you guys to remember that Jesus Christ is the Word.
Yes.
Amen.
God does not change. God does not lie. There is no possibility of failure on His part. I'm going to read another passage from E.W. Kenyon. Let's see here. This is a great little book. When he, Satan, imposes diseases upon me, I have a right to say to him, Satan, those diseases were born in the body of Jesus, and you have no right to bring their photograph around here and frighten me with them.
Amen. Amen.
Those diseases were unconditionally put away, and I am free from disease as the body of Jesus was when he rose from the dead. For I am in Christ, and you cannot put those things on me. And if Satan should attack my body, all I have to do is call my Father's attention to the fact, and the disease must go because I am free. I know that by his stripes I am healed. I am healed. No, if I am healed, I am healed. I know that by his resurrection I am justified, and I do not need to be re-justified. I am justified. I know that by his life I am made alive. I am alive. I know that I died with him. I know that I rose with him. And I know that I am in him.
Yeah.
I know that by his stripes I am healed. Then I am healed. And if I am healed, I am well. Thank God.
Amen.
I have no more to do with this, with my healing. Now this is important. I have no more to do with my healing than I have to do with my resurrection.
Right.
He is my resurrection. He is my healing. That is just so astounding. It's just, it's amazing. The last name I want to share with you is Jesus. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We just had a great season of celebrating the birth of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for sending him. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came up to them and said, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All power and absolute rule has been given to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On earth. All right. Now remember what I said. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus, right?
Yes.
So, Matthew 10:32-33. This is really good. Therefore, the one who confesses and acknowledges me before men as Lord and Savior, affirming a state of oneness with me, that one I will also confess and acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But the one who denies and rejects me before men, that one I will also deny and reject before my Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. So let's read this again. Therefore, the one who confesses and acknowledges the Word before men, that one I will also confess and acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But the one who denies and rejects the Word before men, that one I will also deny and reject my Father who is in heaven. So if I say the opposite of what God says, the Word, I'm being rejected in heaven.
Yeah.
Not my salvation, because that is sure. But if I say something opposite of this Word, Jesus is there saying, no. I'm going to do one more passage here in this book right here. Because this is so cool. Several years ago, I was holding a meeting in a city in Tennessee. One afternoon, while giving an address on the name of Jesus, a lawyer interrupted me, asking, do you mean to say that Jesus gave us the power of attorney, the legal right to use his name? I said to him, brother, you're a lawyer and I'm a layman. Tell me, did Jesus give us the power of attorney? The lawyer said, if language means anything, then Jesus gave to the church, which is you, the power of attorney. Then I asked him, what is the value of the power of attorney? He answered, it depends on how much there is back of it. How much authority, how much power this name represents. Then I began to search to find out how much power and authority Jesus had. The measure of his ability is the measure of the value of that name. And all that is invested in that name belongs to us. For Jesus gave us the unqualified use of his name. John 16:24 says, "You have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus here not only gives us the use of his name, but he also declares that the prayer, prayed in his name, will receive special attention. "Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Jesus said, "You ask of the Father in my name, I will endorse that, and the Father will give it to you." This puts prayer on a purely legal basis, for he has given us the legal right to use his name. As we take our privileges and rights in the new covenant and pray in Jesus' name, it passes out of our hands into the hands of Jesus. He then assumes the responsibility of that prayer. And we know that he said, "Father, I thank thee that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always." In other words, we know that the Father always hears Jesus. And when we pray in Jesus' name, it is as though Jesus himself were doing the prayer. He takes our place. Thank you, Jesus. You are a mighty, mighty, mighty. How are we doing on time? Am I okay? All right. I'm on the last page anyway. Here's another example in the Bible. Is that in the Bible? Don't tell. King David is showing us how to trust in God. Psalms 91. It's an amazing psalm, and if you don't know it, read it, because it's just amazing. But Psalms 91:2, David says, "I will say of the Lord,
yes,
he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Yeah. Then there's the rest of the passage, which is fabulous. Read it. But let's go to God responds to him. So we're going to go to 91:14-16. God says, "Because he loves me." Now what? Did David say, "I love God"?
No.
He says, "You're my safety and my refuge in whom I trust." And remember, God spoke to the Israelites and said, "You're an evil congregation." He says, "We should have died." David says it, and here's how it goes. "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he
acknowledges
my name."
Amen.
And what did he acknowledge God as? His safety and his refuge. Yes. He called God, "God, you are my safety and my refuge."
Yes.
So that's where God says, "You have acknowledged my name."
Right.
"I will answer him." Oh, he will call on me and I will answer him. "I will be with him in trouble." Now David just said, "He is my safety and my refuge. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." The names I gave you earlier are names we are to acknowledge God as being. He is our provider. He is our healer. He's the one who heals. Whatever you do, nope, I'm going to go back. 2 Corinthians 4:13. God is telling you these things. He says, "Since I have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written in the Word, I believed, so I spoke." I am either going to speak the enemy's lies or God's truth. So, I believed, and so I spoke. I also believe, and I also speak. It is your confession. Whatever you have to do to get yourself to believe God, just do it.
Right.
That seems hard. Sometimes it's really hard to look at the circumstances of our lives and believe and trust in God's promises. But whatever you've got to do, do it. If you've got to lock yourself in a room and profess God's truth to yourself 100,000 times, do it. If you have to write them down 1,000 times, do it. If you have to read or hear from someone in authority, do it. Just do it. Just do what it takes to make yourself believe in God, for there is no possibility of failure from him. And belief is a choice. You choose to believe. You choose to believe what you hear or what you read. It is your choice. When we begin to speak, confess, or acknowledge God's word and his names to every scenario or situation in our lives, the scenarios will change. Our bodies will change. Our actions will change. Our thoughts will change. And our thoughts will change to agree with the word of God. We will walk victoriously, more than a conqueror in this life. There is absolutely no chance of failure in God's word. Amen. You will either speak the enemy's lies or God's truths. I have another book from Kenneth Hagin. You say I'm good? Okay, all right, I'm good. This book is What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. This is going to be almost the end. We'll be out of here before two. I want to wrap up some things as we conclude. Remember that the moment you wonder why God has not answered, or you look around for some reason why he did not hear your prayer, or you begin to accept the delay in the answer as the will of God, for you not to have what you have asked, you are defeated. You are automatically defeated because you failed to hold firm and unwavering faith in God for the answer. Remember that step two, so in the book he said, find scriptures that promise you the things you ask for and are believing. Google. If the Bible says it, we are to believe it. Well, someone might say, it might not be God's will for me to have that. If it is not God's will for us to have it, then God lied. Unconsciously, many Christians accuse God of being a liar. If they knew what they were doing, they would not do it. You see, if God promises you something in his word, or if his word, or in his word he tells you something belongs to you, he intends for you to have it. If he does not, then he is fooling you, and he is no partner to trickery. But he is not a partner to trickery.
Amen.
In spiritual things, if people would just fight for what belongs to them like they do in the material world, or in the natural, it would solve a lot of difficulties.
Yes.
In the natural, if somebody came by and said, you're going to have to move out of this house, and if you've been living there 25 years and had it paid for, you'd say, this is mine.
Right.
Here's the piece of paper that says it's mine.
Yes.
You would not say, well, give me 10 days and I'll move out and give it to you. No, you would get a lawyer if necessary.
Yeah.
You have the legal document that says it's yours.
Hallelujah.
Yes. God's word is a legal document.
Yes.
The New Testament, testament means will, is the will of God for me to have everything his word says is mine. And I'm not going to lie down, play dead, and give to the devil.
Amen.
I'm going to have what God says.
Yes.
I can have.
Yes.
You can too.
Amen.
But you cannot ever waver about it. Never under any circumstances question the will of God in this matter of unanswered prayer, since he has promised you that you can have whatsoever you ask if you do not doubt. Jesus said, what things soever. That's a broad ticket. You desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. A lot of people say, yes, but. There's not a but in there, so don't add one. Yes, but that means this. No, if Jesus did not mean what he said, then he lied about it.
Right.
It is just that simple.
Amen.
If Jesus did not mean what he said, he told a lie about it and he is hypocritical. I do not believe the Son of God is a liar. I do not believe he is a hypocritical.
Right.
I believe he told the truth.
Amen.
Whether or not, this is hard, whether or not your prayer is answered depends on you more than it does on God.
That's true. Yeah.
God has already made certain promises and certain statements. The Bible said God never fails. God does not change. God cannot lie. You wonder where I got that? Then if he promises you the things you are praying about, he's not going to change and say, no, you can't have it. He cannot lie. Therefore, if you do not get it, it depends upon you more than it does upon God.
Yeah.
Most people misinterpret John 15:7 as it was read like this. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask whatever God wills, and it shall be done unto you if it is the will of God. Mm-hmm. Is that what it says?
Yeah. No.
It reads like this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
What you will. What you will. As an individual since 1934, I never prayed about one single thing without getting it. Not one time did God ever say no. Not one time did he say, wait a while. All such reasoning as that is human reasoning. The Bible does not teach that. What are the conditions in John 15:7? First, you abide in Him. In other words, you are born again and in Him. Second, His words abide in you. This is why step two in our series is find the Scriptures.
Right.
Abide in the Word and let His Word abide in you. Many times, even though I know the Scriptures, even though I can quote them, I do not pray about some things immediately. Now, this is really good advice.
Yeah.
I go back to the Word. I go over those Scriptures which apply carefully,
right,
sometimes for a day or two before I ever pray. For not only must I abide in Him, but His Word must abide in me. It must be in my heart. Then I shall ask what I will, and it shall be done unto me. Do not make the mistake multiplied thousands of Christians are making, that is, wondering and wavering concerning the will of God in anything that is promised by God. Remember what the Spirit of God said through the Apostle James? The person who doubts or wavers is not to think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Too many Christians are praying in the dark. They are not praying in the light of God's Word. They have not found the Scriptures which promise them the thing they are praying for. Google. They are not praying in the light which the entrance of His Word gives. A husband and wife came for the wife's healing at the end of one service. Her case was incurable. Doctors had said she would be dead within 6 months. We've been praying that if it is the will of God to heal her, He will give us faith so she can be healed, the husband said. How are you going to know whether it is the will of God to heal her or not, I asked. Well, we thought that you would lay hands on her, and if it is God's will, He would heal her, and if it is not, He wouldn't. I said, no, I refuse to pray under those circumstances because she will not be healed. Then you would go off and say it is not the will of God, and you would be further away from it instead of closer. Many people are in worse shape after prayer than they were in before prayer. They ought not to have been prayed for in certain instances. The husband looked at me blankly and said, well, what am I to do? I said, bringing him back to the Word of God.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that it says it. Of course, I knew it did. But if the Word of God says that Jesus took your wife's infirmities and bare her sicknesses, would it be God's will to heal her? He said, certainly. Well, I said, let's find out. Whether it says it or not, I took him to Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4, and 5, and 1 Peter 2:24. They saw it. The husband said, you know, the first part of our prayer wasn't any good. We're going to have to throw it away, aren't we? I didn't tell him right then, but they had to throw away the whole prayer before they could get results.
Yeah.
Their prayer had been that if it was God's will to heal her, He would give them faith to receive the healing. And they were going to ascertain whether or not it was God's will to heal her by whether or not she was healed when I laid my hands on her. That's not the way to find out the will of God. You find out the will of God by going to the will of God. We know about the last will and testament of someone who has died. Well, we have the New Testament, the will of God, secured to us, the church, by the blood and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read the will and find out what belongs to you. Also use Google. We are going to have to throw that first part of our prayer away, the husband said. All we have to do now is pray that God will give us faith so that she can be healed. No, I said, we can't pray yet. We're not yet ready. Are you saved? We are members of such and such church. You could be a member of this church where we're holding this meeting and not be saved. Have you been born again? Are you a child of God? Oh, yes. Well, how did you get saved? Our neighbors kept inviting us to go to church with them, and finally we did. When the minister gave the invitation, we went forward, knelt at the altar. He laid hands on our heads and prayed, and he encouraged us to pray. Did you pray that God would give you faith so you could be healed, I asked. Oh, no. The minister had just preached that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He had preached that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We knew what the Lord would do before we went down there. Well, I said, He's not only bore your sins, but He bore your sicknesses.
Yes.
So why pray that God would give you faith so you could be healed? All you have to know is what God's Word said. He jumped up again and said, we're going to have to throw that whole prayer away, aren't we? We were ready for prayer then. He knew the will of God. She knew the will of God. To make a long story short, the woman received her healing.
Praise God.
Let me say it one more time. In the final analysis, the answer to your prayer depends upon you more than it does upon God. This is true for the simple reason that God does not fail. God does not change. God does not lie. And there is no possibility of failure on his part. The only failure possible is on man's part. Man is accustomed to living by feelings instead of by faith. But the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight encompasses any of the physical senses or feelings. We do not walk by that. We walk by faith. We live by faith. But man is so used to walking by feelings instead of faith, so used to being swayed by circumstances instead of calling those things which be not as though they were, that he simply does not doggedly hold to the right steps. And that is what defeats him. That is where the failure is. You must see to it that you do not fail. Then, because God does not fail, there cannot be a faint possibility of a prayer failure or faith failure in your life. These are amazing statements. All right. I have my parents here, my mother-in-law, one of my children, my family, and some friends, and I want to thank you all for being here today. And I'd ask Bill and Roberta, would you come up here for a second? Come on. Sue, and come on over here.
Reed, come on up too and play.
Kelly, come on up here. Mark 16, 17, 18. I want you to stand right here. Come on. Face the audience. They are just in shock. Kelly knew weird stuff would happen. Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Every child of God is a believer, a believing one. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up servants. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. My family has been struggling with some illnesses and sicknesses and pains in their bodies right now. And God said that he's given us the keys to the kingdom. And what is bound in heaven, we have the right to bind it here. There is no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. What is loosed in heaven, we have the right to loose here, which is health. And I intend to stop this sickness and pain right now. So, Pastor, if you will come up here, I'm going to pray for my family, for the sicknesses and the diseases and the things that are bothering them. In the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you, and I'm going to pray for each one individually. Father, I ask you to remove this AFib and this lung problem right now.
Yes.
And by the authority of Jesus Christ, I command that your lungs be cleared and open and your heart be restored. Yes. That brand new lungs and brand new heart come in.
Yes.
That you are completely healed and restored.
Yes.
I rebuke the words that the world is telling you where there's nothing that can be done.
Yes.
For God is all powerful, all knowing. And through the blood and power of Jesus Christ, I speak that you are healed right
yes.
now and that your body is whole right now in
yes.
the name of Jesus.
Yes. Thank you.
And we give you life. Be healed, Bill. Now take a deep breath.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Take another one.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You feel God working in your life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Now, Roberta.
Praise God.
Having some issues walking. Digestive system problems. Her mind is wandering and being taken in places that it shouldn't be. Gracious Heavenly Father, I ask that you heal her mind, her head, her entire body, her digestive system, where she is completely healed. I speak to the veins in her legs to give her strength. And Father, I thank you that you are doing that. And by the authority of Jesus Christ, I say, legs, you will be brand
yes,
new.
Yes.
Digestive system, you will function properly.
Yes.
Mind, you are clear.
Yes.
You have been given the spirit of a sound mind.
Yes, Jesus.
And God, we call this in right now.
Thank you.
Be completely restored and healed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Now, take a step or two.
Thank you, Jesus.
And come back.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is touching you.
Amen.
He's healing.
Amen.
Sue has osteoporosis and weakness in her joints. And her mind is just wondered about things are getting older and things are getting harder. And am I going to be able to handle these things? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you would bring strength and renewed bones and strength to the bones right now.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name and the authority of Jesus Christ, I speak that your body will have new bones, new joints, osteoporosis, and arthritis. Go. You have no rights here.
That's right.
You are to be completely healed and restored, and you have strength because God will renew you as the wings of eagles.
Yes.
You are strong. In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak healing to you now. We speak healing and life.
Yes.
And we rebuke the words of the doctors where they say there's nothing that can be done because God is the healer.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is the one that heals. You spirits of infirmity and sickness and disease, I bind you from all three of these people
right now.
And commands you to leave them as far as the east is from the west and to never return. Receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. Be restored. Now, Sue, stretch up. Stand up straight. There you go.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Praise God.